We extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here and welcome each one to this part of the service. I hope and trust that we've had a good Thanksgiving week. It does me good to see Glenda here with us, and I think I saw, Kendall here as well. Good to have you all with us. And each one here, Brother James shared about us being the apple of God's eye. And, you know, that is really something that you are special like that to God. It's a privilege and an honor. When I look at my own life and how many times that I have stumbled and fallen and come short, how can that be that I could be part of the apple of God's eye, that I could be special to Him in that way? It is through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we experienced having communion a week ago and in memory of the sufferings that He went through. I was blessed with the devotional that Brother Kenny shared. And he talked about a verse there where it said, "As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And I thought that so complemented what I thought I would share on today. And what I want to share on today, I cannot begin to do justice to that topic. But I'd just like to ask you a question. Is your life adorning the doctrine of God our Savior in all things? And that is taken out of a verse in Titus chapter 2, verse 10. The last part of it says that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. I'd like today to speak out of Titus and maybe some out of Peter. So if you would turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. It is my desire that I can be an encouragement to you all and maybe help strengthen our faith. In this, I think it's important that we not look at each other, but look at ourselves in personal examination. There is so much in of direction that Paul is writing and telling to Titus, and the things that he should share with the churches that he had oversight of, that we should follow after. And so the things that are shared today here, I hope you don't feel like I'm targeting anyone. It's not my desire to do that. I don't have anyone in mind over the things that I'm sharing, namely myself. And I just want to share as the Lord leads, and I do desire an interest in your prayers as we go through this. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And it's Paul talking to Titus here, writing this letter to him. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. For you sisters, I would like to ask this question. If someone asked you, how are you being a keeper at home, like it says here? The older women are to teach the younger to be keepers at home. Today, in our culture, quite a few of you have jobs outside the home. Is that really God's intent? I don't want to be critical of that. We do have an example in Acts. Aquila, a man by the name of Aquila, his wife Priscilla seemed to go and work with her husband. They were tent makers. And it would seem like she had a job that she did. But I would just say this. All you sisters in here who have children, who have daughters, you will do them a big favor if you teach them to be good homemakers. I don't think it's wrong for them to go out and help with the needs. They have a life to support, help support the family. And in the culture that we live in, I think it can be well and good. But I do think that you will do yourselves and your daughters a big favor if you teach them to be good homemakers in the event that they should someday become married. If you have a future son-in-law, he will thank you for that. Verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say. You know, when we look at all these different attributes, and when we look at adorning the doctrine of God, our Savior, you know, when we think of adornment, we think of externals. You know, the clothes we wear, how we fix our hair, you know, how we present ourselves. But this adornment is talking about internal, and it has to do with Christian character. Christian character is something that I'm inclined to think we can take with us into eternity. You know, the Bible would say that, talking about heaven, sin will never enter there. But God has given us a life to live here, and in this life, all kinds of opportunity to form good, sound, Christian character. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well, in all things not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. There is so much in this, and I would like to, with these thoughts, turn over to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Start reading in verse 1. It says here, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Do any of you, can you imagine being married to an unbelieving spouse? Wives, if your husbands are unbelievers or don't believe or do not obey the word, it's very likely that they will not be reading the word either. And likewise, ye husbands, if you have an unbelieving wife, it's very likely that they will not be reading the word. And so the question is, the way you live your life, it talks here about your conversation, the way you live your life, that your spouse may be won over by that. Let's continue reading. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I was really challenged with some of the verses in here, and considering my own life, you know, when it talks here about the wives being in subjection to the husbands, do you husbands realize the responsibility that that puts on your life? I would have a desire for someone else with more knowledge than me to elaborate on verse 7, where it says, husbands, dwell with your wives, dwell with them according to knowledge. I have puzzled over that verse long and hard already. And there is so much I don't know, but there is a story of a young man having two children and being away at work all day, him and his wife and two children, young children, the children were maybe in the age of maybe 2 and 4, and they lived in an old farmhouse. And they were trying as they could to do some construction work in there. And he was at a place where they had a stairway going upstairs that he was replacing some boards in the stairway. And in his mind, coming home from work, he had in his mind that he wanted to replace quite a few of the boards in the stairway. It seemed like the walls in there were short and easy to do, easy to accomplish. And I can only imagine the vision in his mind of how much work he could get done. But in coming home, his wife had a party she wanted to go to, Epicure party. Some of you ladies know what Epicure is, maybe. Well, he said, that's fine if she goes to that. He should easily be able to handle that. You know, watch the children and they can help him maybe carry some boards in or whatever. You get a lot of this work done. And so she goes to the Epicure party and he's there with the children. I do not know what all happened there that evening. But later, his wife comes home, comes walking into the house, and he's there pacing the floor. And he asks, well, how did your evening go? How did my evening go? He said, I got 3 boards put on. So little that he got done. How many of you husbands have already come to the house and wondered, man, I wonder what the wife was doing all day? I think that there is a lot more involved in childcare than what a lot of us husbands realize. Especially if a child gets a bellyache. They need attention. And while you're taking care of one, another one can spill a whole can of who knows what off of the table. I have a daughter up in Canada that was wanting to paint, and it's amazing how fast a woman's reflexes can be if the need is there. Child pulls a gallon of paint off the table. Spills on the floor. Imagine how fast you could grab that up, knowing the damage it will do. It's so important that a child is will that they have. The will can be very strong and hard to break. But if you have children, that is something that is very needful. They will be so hard to live with later in life if that will is never broken. And the younger you can do that, the better. And may God give each one of you the wisdom to know how to do that, because what works for one child will not necessarily work for the other one. But I know, brethren, you know, when we go out and we work hard all day and we look so forward to coming into the house in the evening and kick our feet up and lay down, your wife's work is never done. Your wife was in there and working hard all day as well. And she is so looking forward to having you come home and take a turn with the children. And if you love your wife, and I trust that you do, you kick in and you do your share and you help, and you know that your wife was working hard all day, same as you were, and her work is never done. It's hard for us sometimes to realize, but there is so much that we can do, and with so little effort, to making their life easier. When you come home from church today, and I do not know what your habits are, and so I'm not pointing my finger at anyone, but I know I used to be a young boy myself. When you come home, and probably one of the first things you want to do is go change your clothes. The clothes you have on, do you throw them into a corner? Do you drop them on the floor? Do you throw them on the bed? You know, you are the one that was wearing your clothes, and you know if you sweated in them, you know if you got them dirty, you know if they should go to the hamper, or if they could be hung back up to be worn again. If you have been paying attention to what your mom and dad have been teaching you, those are things that you should kind of know automatically, as especially as you grow a little older. And, you know, if you throw them in a corner, you throw them on the bed, or you throw them on the floor, whether it's your mom or your sister, or if it's your wife, she will have to look at your clothes, and she will have to do an inspection there to see where they go. Should she hang them up again, or should she put them in the hamper? And it's something that you could do so easily right in the moment. And when you come into the house, do you like to come into a clean house? If you mistakenly happen to scatter mud on the floor when you come in, oh, you didn't realize your feet were dirty. Your shoes were dirty. And, you know, if you notice that you've made a mess, do you clean it up? Or do you just hope nobody saw who it was and you sneak out again and hope somebody else will clean it up? You know, those are all temptations and things that we face. And especially for you boys, I'd just like to ask you a question. How would you like it if you not only had to clean up after yourself, but you had to clean up after everybody else? That's what the ladies have to do if you don't. And so, you know, it is a simple thing. And, you know, and if I accidentally track mud into the house, if I leave it there, very quickly it becomes scattered all over. And if I happen to notice it right when it happens, it's fairly simple normally. I know it takes a little effort, but it's fairly simple to quickly clean it up and put it where it belongs. And, you know, when I make myself do that, that trains me a little bit to be a little bit more careful the next time. You know, there are things that you can make yourself do to clean up and pick up after yourself. The story that I related about this young man coming home and finding out that he was not able to get near as much work done as he thought he could, did he gain a little bit of knowledge there in dwelling with his wife according to knowledge? It's just a question. You know, those are some things that there may be not a right or wrong thing, but those are all personal habits that you should try to teach yourself, and it will make you a much better person to live with later in life. If that is automatic and can happen. Another question I would like to ask, and this is a little bit of a change of subject. Have you ever found yourself in a strained relationship? Whether it's with your wife, with your husband, or your brother, or your sister, or with anyone, somebody in the church, or maybe it's with a neighbor. Have you ever found yourself in a strained relationship where the relationship just isn't quite the best? I would just about dare say that just about all of us have had that experience. But the question is the way that we respond in those times to the person that we are straining with or whatever, is the way that we respond and relate, is it adorning the doctrine of God, our Savior? It talks here about adorning that in all things. And Jesus would tell us that we are to return good for evil. And, you know, the people that we are the closest to, whether it's our brother or sister, whether it's our husband, whether it's our wife, the people that we are the closest to are the ones that can hurt us the most. And those are the ones that it is the most important for us to return good for evil. And when we do that, we are adorning the doctrine of God our Savior. It's easy to be nice to people that are nice to us. And it's easier to be nice to people and return good for evil to people that we barely know. But the challenge comes in being able to do that when we are offended by those we are close to. That is where the challenge comes in. But it is so necessary. You know, how would it be? There are some of us who are called to go out and to be missionaries in other countries, in other places. How would it be if I had a very bad relationship with my family and I would just kind of brush that off and try to go out there and maybe go to Haiti or go to some other country and try to do mission work over there? And over there, the people don't really know how I am at home. And oh, they would be so accepting and I could be so nice for the short time I'm there. And because they would use me so nice, I'd always enjoy going. I don't think it works that way. God's blessing does not rest on that. If we want to someday be successful in that kind of thing, it has to start in our homes. And if you young ones in here, if you look at your life and the habits that you form early in life, it will stay with you. It becomes easier and easier to do those good habits. Pick up after yourself. You know, sometimes there are strained relationships. You know, I'm sure some of you sisters might struggle with this. If you have a brother that tracks mud into the floor and he sneaks out and leaves you to clean it up, you know that if you don't clean it up fairly quickly, it's going to scatter all through the house. You know, can you relate in a right way to your brother when he does that? And brethren, if your sister does something that gets under your skin, and I'm sure those things do happen as well, you know, can you return good for evil? There is a verse in John, and I'd just like to look that up. And I would like to share another little story. Some of you may have heard that story before. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." You know, Jesus also said, and I think I heard Brother Mike or James share this, about Jesus saying that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And yet at the same time, Jesus tells us that we are to carry a burden for 2 miles instead of one. How does that make it easy? It's going above and beyond. There is a story that a minister related, and I know that I've related this story here before, but sometimes it does us good to be reminded. Minister related a story of an instruction class, and in the instruction class, he asked the young people that came there in the class whether the Holy Spirit still speaks to people like he did in Bible times. And he said there was one young girl that raised her hand, said, "Yeah, the Holy Spirit speaks to me." And he said, "Well, what did he say?" And she said, "Well, he made me aware of my lost condition and aware of my need to be saved and my need of accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior." And he said, "Yes, that is exactly right. That was the Holy Spirit." But he said, "Does the Holy Spirit still talk to us in other ways?" He said, "I tell you what, I would like for you to think about this for a week. And next week when we come together to instruction class, I would like to know if the Holy Spirit spoke to any of you." And so he dismissed the class. A week later when they came together, he asked the question again. "Has the Holy Spirit spoken to any of you?" And this same girl raised her hand, said he spoke to me. And he said, would you care to elaborate? What did he say? She said, well, this past week, I came into my room. And my sister had made a terrible mess in the room and left it there for me. And I was going to tell Mom on my sister when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, why don't you just not say anything and just clean it up for her? And so I did. And then the minister asked this girl, he said, how did it make you feel? And his expression was that her face lit up like a 200-watt light bulb. Said it made her feel very good. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. And when we love each other, and when we love the Lord, when he tells us things to do and we do them, it makes us happy, naturally. And that is God's love flowing in our hearts. May we always encourage each other to good works. And when we do things for each other, as little as they may be, we're doing that for the Lord. If we keep him in our focus. You know, if you struggle with another person in a strained relationship, and whenever you think of that person, the first thing you think about is how that person may have hurt you. Or maybe you think of some of the habits that person has that are maybe not so nice. I would like to tell you that you're focusing on the wrong thing. If you have a person like that in your life, try to think of the good things that person does. Realize that God loves that person too. And maybe if you would have gone through the things that that person went through, you might be a much worse person than what you think that person is. See, none of us know exactly, even in our own families, we don't know exactly all the things that other people go through. Because God is at work, and God is a spirit, and he speaks to us in the spirit. And the things that he might tell me might be different from what he tells you in some respects. But we have his word here. And so we do good to not be too critical, but that we would encourage each other and that we would love each other. So when you think of a person that you don't like, a person that might have hurt you, or a person that may have some ways that you don't care for, and if you can make yourself focus on the good things about that person and pray that God would help you in this, those things will fade, and the time may come when you don't think of those bad things anymore, and maybe you think that person has changed, but in actuality, it is maybe you that has changed. When you can overcome those things, God helps us to change ourselves. But don't never think that you can make another person change. And us older ones in here, we have a responsibility of teaching and training our children. And if they have bad ways, we need to help them change. And God help us with that. But as they grow older, you know, after the first 18 years of your life, you try to make people change when they're older. God is the one that has to do that. And our mission with our children as they are older like that, we need to try to continue to encourage them and others to a right relationship with the Lord. And the Lord is the one that can change people. When we accept him into our heart and lives, and we become baptized by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit applies the blood of Jesus Christ to our lives and takes our sins away, that is an event that is life-changing. And may we truly adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in the way we live our lives and the character that we have. That is one thing that is eternal, I think. the same as your soul, because the character that you really have is it's a part of who you are in here. And may we strive to pattern ourselves after the character of Jesus Christ, that we can truly adorn his doctrine in the right way. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.